Time again now for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hi, Toby. My pleasure, as ever. Good to speak to you.
I thought we would start this week about news about Unilever working in collaboration with the RNIB to announce plans to make their accessible packaging more accessible to blind and partially sighted people and adding a new QR code, which will make the experience for blind and partially sighted shoppers, both at home and in store, more accessible and adding a new innovation. And I think in a way it's sort of adding on from sort of the NaviLens technology. And I think they're going to be starting with their Persil packs.
Indeed, you've given the answer there, Toby. But yes, no, I mean, we've been working with Kellogg's for a couple of years now on making packaging on their major brands accessible through NaviLens, which is a multicolour sort of QR code. But if you point your phone at it, your device at it, it gives you the information about what's in the box. And so with Kellogg's, we've done that on all their cereal brands now, having piloted it on Coco Pops a couple of years ago. And clearly this is, you know, a great principle of using something like a QR code to allow, in this case, blind and partially sighted people to get access to the information of sort of what's in the box. You know, clearly if it's a foodstuff, you can give nutritional information, calorie information, size, you know, and on something like Unilever's products, you can give a lot of information about the particular sort of cleaning suitability of some of their products. So we've got it's a slightly different solution to NaviLens, but similar principle, QR code. We're working with a company called Zappar and Unilever to use a sort of, there's a free Zap Vision app that you can use. And again, similar principle, you get the app up and you point it at the QR code and it gives all the information that you need in a very sort of structured way that, you know, is very relevant for blind and partially sighted people to access what the information is. And, you know, we've been working with Unilever as one of the main brands for some time, and it's great that we've been able to launch this initiative on their Persil product, which, you know, household name. Clearly many people would buy Persil as their sort of clothes washing detergent of choice. And so, you know, this is a big thing for us to step forward with Unilever on such a big brand. So we're really pleased. And it's again just another sign of some of these big organizations, you know, working with us, listening to our insight and delivering a more accessible packaging solution for blind and partially sighted people.
And I believe there's been more collaboration work this week. I think there's been some work with the RNID and maybe around the sort of cost of living with an action day as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what we've been finding for the last 2 or 3 years coming out of COVID and now the cost of living crisis is, you know, we're getting our, you know, the confidence back as the organisations, the RNIB, but actually there's many opportunities to work with some of our sort of fellow charities, you know, in a variety of spheres. We work closely with charities in the visually impaired sector, the likes of Guide Dogs and Thomas Pocklington Trust. And we work in the Disability Charity Consortium, the DCC group, with a variety of charities. And our good friends at the RNID sit within the Disability Charity Consortium. You know, but we're very similar charities in the sense that we're both trying to make society work for people who have some sort of sensory deficit, clearly. So I was lucky enough to be invited by the team at the RNID yesterday to go and sort of have a bit of time at their conference. They have a sort of quarterly conference where they get the whole team together. It's about 200 people work for the RNID. You can sort of get them in a big room. So I went up and did a session with the CEO, a bit of a Q&A session, but really, you know, talking about what we were doing as the RNIB to try and drive our strategic agenda and how that absolutely sort of fits alongside what the RNID are trying to do to, you know, move on from, you know, a strong tradition of providing sort of services and operations and trying as we are now to go out in society and make change happen to get society to work better for blind and partially sighted people. So I think we're all finding that on a lot of topics, there's strength in a pack, really, and the whole could be greater than the sum of the parts. And one great example, actually, quite coincidental to yesterday, is we've been working with the RNID and the government on the sort of media bill to try and improve the accessibility of television, both to get subtitles on things if you're deaf, so you obviously can access programs better, and for us to get that audio description. And I had a meeting before Christmas with one of the associate directors of the RNID and the appropriate minister, Julia Lopez, who was piloting this bill through or responsible for this part of the media bill. And as of yesterday, they published the draft of the bill, which includes pretty much everything we wanted in terms of allowance for audio description and for subtitles at the appropriate level of permeation across all the different television channels and distributors. So that's just a sign, you know, of us working together. And I think, as you say, we do a lot of work on the cost of living crisis at the moment. Clearly, we're thankfully coming out of winter. You know, the budget gave some further succor, I think, to people of disability by the extension of the energy cap, and 100 million being given over to different charities from the government. So shows they're listening. And one of the things that we did and we convened back in January was this social media take up, where we got about 40 charities around the sort of hashtag support can't wait. And we had about 11 million views across all our social media platforms of that effort on that day back in January. And we're doing another one on the 6th of April next week, just before Easter, to coincide with the start of the new financial year, you know, to make the point that even though we're going into a new financial year, you know, the issue is still very challenging for people. You know, inflation hasn't come down yet. Energy is still high. It's still cold. You know, food prices are high on staple foodstuffs, and we still need to be championing the cause of our beneficiaries. And again, not only will it be the same charities we used last time, so there's about 40, but also we've got the sort of VODG group of charities engaged this time as well. So we'll have a bigger reach and bigger scale this time around than last time.
And I believe you've been out to dinner recently, Matt, as well, for a dinner, I think, about all about education. And Lord Blunkett was there, I believe.
Oh, Toby, it looks like I have a sort of R&IB social life every night of the week, doesn't it? Which wouldn't be the case, in fact. But no, we get together, you know, try and convene interesting groups of people to sort of improve flows of information and talk to our donors who very kindly help fund particular aspects of our work. We've got a very strong stream of work around education, where a year ago now, and I can't believe it's a year, but we launched the Visually Impaired Curriculum Framework, which basically trains teachers on all the things they need to bring to the classroom to allow them to teach blind and partially sighted kids to a similar degree as sighted kids. And we know there's an educational attainment gap, and, you know, as ever in a tough economy, real pressure on budgets that go into special educational needs and into this sort of additional help in school. So it's been a great initiative. And so yesterday we had a dinner on the theme of education with some of our major donors who've helped fund this work. We did it at the Royal Institute in London, which is a fabulous building actually in Mayfair, where they used to do all the sort of Royal Institute Christmas science lectures for kids back when I was a youth. So I saw the lecture theatre yesterday. But we had a number of donors there. David Blunkett came along, very strong support of the R&IB Vice President and crucially Education Secretary in previous Labour government. And we had a Northern Irish student, James Douglas, who came to speak to us. He's a visually impaired student in his first year at Durham University reading physics. And he was talking about how he manages his way through what is a very challenging, demanding course at Durham, you know, and the techniques he uses and the support he's had from the R&IB and other sources of help, and how he uses technology to access information. So very, very compelling summary from James, and great to hear, you know, there's some of the wisdom and perspective from David Blunkett. So really, really great evening, actually. Really enjoyed it, and nice to be able to catch up with some of our major donors.
Well, if you have any questions at all relating to sight loss or maybe education for blind and partially sighted people, you can always find a lot of information on the RNIB website, and that's rnib.org.uk. You can always, of course, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or use your Amazon smart device and ask dear old Lady A to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Matt, for joining me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Toby. And I think a really interesting week with a lot going on different fronts that shows the sort of breadth and depth of, you know, what the RNIB does and gets into, and how we're trying to work partnerially and with others to make some beneficial change happen. So, you know, my pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.